Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Everyone, welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are in the midst of a new homestand, taking on the Reds in interleague play this weekend, with Texas coming in Memorial Day Monday for a three-game set as well. Coming up on this week's show, we will take a look back at the week gone by. Indians playing some better baseball, finishing off a road trip in fine style against the White Sox and keeping that rolling, with the series opener on Friday night against the Reds. The Indians heading into play on Saturday had won four in a row for the first time this season. We will also check in with Carter Hawkins, the Indians' Director of Player Development, a full farm report focusing on AAA Columbus this week, and we'll be joined by Rick Manning, who was honored on Saturday for his 40 years with the Tribe, the 40th anniversary of his Major League debut this weekend, and he is still at it behind the mic on the television side for the Indians on Fox Sports Ohio. So a lot to get to this week on Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us, and we'll get rolling with Tribe Talk right here on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you at Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are in the midst of a new homestand, taking on the Cincinnati Reds this weekend, then Texas early next week, Monday through Wednesday. Taking a look at the week gone by, and it was a good one for the Tribe. Started off on a difficult note for the Indians, despite another great performance by Corey Kluber. Monday night, series opener in Chicago against the White Sox. The Indians taking on the White Sox for four games to close out their road swing. Felt great about having Kluber back on the mound after he had struck out 18 St. Louis Cardinals in his prior start, and it didn't take long for Kluber to get right back at it.
Again, the infield in at the cut of the grass. The outfield a bit toward left, medium deep. He struck out Cabrera in the first. Target set, the pitch. Swing and a miss! Got him! Chased one down in the zone. Looked like a good hard sinker from Corey Kluber. His 10th strikeout of the night.
And while Kluber was tremendous, the Indians just couldn't get anything going against Chris Sale, and the game eventually went to 10 innings before the White Sox won it by a final score of 2-1. But from that point forward, the Indians' fine pitching would continue, and they would get plenty of hitting, putting together a four-game win streak after Friday night's victory over the Cincinnati Reds. And it started on Tuesday night, and it began early, as Jose Ramirez would get things going for the Tribe in a tight ball game to put them in front. Jose Ramirez lines one down the left field line. Fair ball, headed toward the corner. Kipnis racing to third. They'll wave him around, and he'll score easily. Into second with an RBI double is Jose Ramirez, and the Indians grab a 2-1 lead. Meanwhile, Trevor Bauer backed up Kluber's performance on Monday night with a solid effort of his own on Tuesday.
Now the 1-2. Swing and a miss. He chased a pitch that bounced 3 feet in front of the plate. Perez has to throw to first to complete the strikeout. What a job by Trevor Bauer tonight. He has struck out 7.
And then with the Indians still leading 2-1, Brandon Moss gave the Tribe some breathing room in the 8th.
Now the pitch. Moss sends one high in the air to deep right. Garcia's back. He's at the wall. He's looking up. It is gone! A home run to right by Brandon Moss, and is that a big insurance run there? The Indians have a 3-1 lead on Moss's team-leading 6th home run.
So the Indians had that 3-1 lead, but would work into trouble in the bottom half of the 8th inning. With the White Sox threatening, the closer, Cody Allen, came on early to try and nail down a 4-out save.
The 2-2 offering. Strike three called! Painted the outside corner at 96 miles per hour. Allen strikes out Garcia, and the Indians stay on top. 3-1 over Chicago. We go to the ninth.
And then Allen would finish the job in the ninth.
Allen's ready. He may not waste any time. He may come right back at him. Here it comes. A swing and a miss. Struck him out with a high heat. Ball game. Cody Allen with a dominant four-out save, striking out three.
Afterwards, the Indians' closer stopped by to talk about his solid performance.
Cody, a dominant four-out save tonight, striking out three. Congratulations. And how tough is that? Because we haven't seen you get a lot of four-out saves.
I try not to look at it as being tough or harder than getting three outs. You know, I'm just trying to make one pitch at a time. And, you know, getting out of that eighth inning was big. You know, Zepp came in with a big punch out of LaRoche there, a dangerous hitter. And then, I kind of had two batters to try and get one out, so I didn't want to, you know, really give in. You know, if Zepp, you know, LaRoche gets on, then it makes it a little tougher, but he did a great job in setting it up for me.
Cody, as far back as spring training, you were talking about how it doesn't necessarily have to be just the ninth inning for you, and that's okay. And do you welcome that challenge coming on early?
Absolutely. Tito and I, we've talked a number of times. Just, you know, we're just trying to get this thing going, piece it together any way we can to get wins. And, you know, we've had tremendous starts, you know, the last few games. You know, Trevor's start against St. Louis at home, and we had some good starts there in Texas. And then Kluber yesterday and Bauer tonight. You know, our rotation is definitely a strength of this ball club, and we're going to do anything we can to back them up.
Yeah, and that even goes back to that St. Louis series, Cody. It seems like, boy, you'd love to see, obviously, a 10-game win streak, but you do get the feeling, don't you, that slowly this thing is coming together?
It is. You know, we've had some tough luck losses. You know, last night, you know, they score a tying run on a ball that just kind of trickles away, and Adam Eaton made a great play there just being aggressive. You know, runs were at a premium last night with those two horses on the mound. And, you know, they got the better end of it. But, you know, it's still, you know, I know it's, you know, the old saying that it's still early. You know, it's getting later, so we need to string something together here. But with our rotation and the talent we have and the way Kip and Brandt and all those guys are swinging the bat, you know, it's, you know, all of us, I mean, we feel it. You know, it's just kind of a matter of time before we reel off, you know, 12 out of 13, and then we reel off another 10 out of 11, you know, and then we're right back in it.
And personally, you're starting to get on a nice little roll here. I know some minor adjustments for you.
Yeah, just a little adjustment, a few weeks ago or about a week ago where, you know, I was just squaring up a little better on the rubber, just giving myself a chance to keep the ball in the zone, you know, because I was just hurting myself, getting in bad counts and, you know, not really giving my stuff a chance. But it's easier to come out of the bullpen and just throw strikes and get guys out when you're coming in after guys like Bauer and Kluber and Carrasco when they just got an offense completely off balance. So hats off to those guys. They're carrying us right now.
Well, hats off to you as well, Cody. Great job tonight.
Thanks, Hammy. Thanks, guys.
So it was on to Wednesday. Indians trying to make it two in a row over the White Sox. They had veteran Sean Markham on the mound. Markham had not pitched in a major league game, at least a starting assignment, in 2 years. Injuries had really taken a toll on Markham, but he's worked extremely hard to get back, and he was sharp throughout the ball game, and in fact, got the game into the sixth inning with the ball game tied at one.
Abreu, big and strong. The pitch to him. He bangs it on the ground wide of third. To his left, playing it to his glove side is Aviles. Third baseman guns it over, and Sean Markham continues to impress. Six in the books, Cleveland, Chicago, tied at one.
Then in the seventh, the Indians would give Markham some run support, thanks once again to Jose Ramirez.
Here it comes, a swing and a ground ball in the hole into left field. It's a base hit. That'll score the go-ahead run. Hayes scores, Bourne to third, and the big night for Ramirez continues. He is 2-for-2 with two singles, two walks, and the Indians have a 2-1 lead.
And as always, Dr. Smooth Michael Brantley would chip in to give the Indians a comfortable advantage.
Brantley with a line drive to right field. This is trouble. It is going to short hop the fence. That is going to score Bourne. Ramirez into third. He is being waved home. Brantley pulls into second with a two-run double. And there's a game breaker for Michael Brantley. He got into a hitter's count. and he ropes a two-run double down the right field line, and the Indians have scored three. They lead it 4-1 in the seventh.
Tribe would win the game 4-3 afterward. Indians pitching coach Mickey Callaway stopped by to talk about the tremendous performance by Markham.
Mickey Callaway's heart is beating a little bit faster, but Mickey, first off, a great win, but it was set the tone anyway by an incredible outing by Sean Markham, who proved you can dominate throwing an 86-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, you know, he really did a great job. He went out there and stuck to a game plan. He made sure that he pitched in so that stuff down and away would work, and he could get away with a mistake if he made it. But, you know, he's not scared, and he goes out there and knows how to pitch, and he's not scared to pitch in, which is the most valuable part of what he does.
Mickey, you were saying on the pregame show that you look forward to tonight, because anytime a grizzled veteran can come up and know how to pitch, you like that. And what gave you that belief that Markham would be able to execute that tonight?
Well, you know, he's a bulldog, and I know he's not scared to go out there and throw the ball over the plate and pitch in. And, you know, it's good to have a guy that's going to come up here and show these flamethrowers how to pitch a little bit.
You know, that's a great point, though, Mickey, because if they see Sean Markham doing it at 86, why not do it when you throw 96?
Exactly. You know, I think obviously we preached a pitch in. I think we can always do a better job of it. And to have a guy that goes out there and is not scared, throws the ball with conviction, and does it inside with 83 to 86 is pretty fun to watch.
And, Mickey, I know due to his past history, you're careful with him. What do you need to do to make sure that he can go out there every fifth day now, or at least take the ball the next fifth day feeling good?
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since he's been in an everyday rotation out there going, you know, 7-8 innings and throwing 100-plus pitches. You know, he's done it a few times in AAA this year, and, you know, we felt comfortable sending him back out since he was pitching so good. We got a good little lead there going, and, you know, he was out to 85, 86 pitches today, and hopefully this next outing he'll get out to about 100, and I think we'll feel comfortable with those pitch counts.
Well, great job with this staff, Mickey, because this is a rotation now that is very capable of getting into one of these rhythms or grooves where all of a sudden now you've got a chance to literally win every night.
Yeah, you know, they really do, and I think they kind of feed off of each other. You know, the last couple of years when we get going is when everybody starts to get going. You know, it's not by mistake. You know, they really feed off of each other, and we're trying to get there right now.
Well, go warm up. Thanks, Mick.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Then on Thursday, Tribe back at it again, trying to make it three in a row over the White Sox and finish the road trip on an upbeat note. They would get it going early this time in support of Indian starting pitcher Danny Salazar. Very first inning, Dr. Smooth Michael Brantley would get things started for the Tribe.
The left-hander comes set. The pitch. Swung on, ground ball, base hit up the middle into center field. That'll score Kipnis. Santana will be stopped at third on a strong throw to the plate on the fly by Adam Eaton. Give Michael Brantley an RBI single to center, and the Indians have a 1-0 lead. So Michael Brantley continues to be Mr. Clutch.
And as the inning continued, a little two-out thunder for the Indians from Nick Swisher and Mike Aviles.
Danks the wind, danks the pitch. Swung on, hit a ton. Deep left field, this ball is gone. Number one for Nick Swisher. A line shot to left. The pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, fairly deep left. Cabrera going back on the track at the wall. It is gone to the bullpen. Back-to-back jacks. First Swisher, now Aviles, and the Indians have a 4-0 lead.
After the game, Nick Swisher stopped by to talk about a good road trip and a solid finish to the series against the White Sox.
Terrific trip for you, Nick, and for this ball club.
Well, just in general, I feel like we're really kind of starting to kind of come into our own a little bit. You know, guys are kind of falling into place. People are really understanding what their jobs are. And especially when you got a new team, it takes a little bit of time to gel. But for myself, today was my daughter's birthday today.
Oh.
So for myself, I mean, that was one of the cooler home runs I've ever hit, man. You know, just to be able to take her that ball, and whether she remembers it or not, later in life, it was a pretty good day.
Nick, I know we talked earlier in the week, you don't want to get caught up in trying to hit home runs, but I imagine every once in a while it's okay to load up, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like I've really, really been hitting in a lot of two-strike counts this series. And, you know, Danks just, you know, challenged me with a fastball, and I was lucky enough to kind of pop the hips and get the barrel on it. But I think in general, you know, we're doing such a good job. Our guys at the top of the lineup have been doing such a tremendous job of getting on base. You know, us guys in the power slots in the lineup, you know, we got to do a little better job of starting to drive those runs in.
Well, Nick, for you, it's tough, and we've heard other guys talk about it, too. When you miss all of spring training, no matter how long you've been around, we all think spring training's too long until you miss it, right? Because now it's hard to catch up when you're facing major league pitching, but it looks like you have.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, you feel like a monster when you're down there in extended and in AAA. You know, you're feeling like you're the greatest player in the world, and then all of a sudden you come up here and reality kind of sets in. But I think for myself, you know, just coming off these knees, I'm really kind of getting the speed of the game back. And, you know, Tito's done a good job of really helping me out. I've gotten that one game in the outfield. And you know, hopefully that continues to keep happening. But for me, you know, hey, man, like I told Tito in spring this year, I said, I know I'm coming off this injury, man. I'm here to do whatever I can to help this team win because, you know, I mean, regardless of our start, you know, no one really remembers how you start. Everybody remembers how you finish. So I think for us, man, you know, Klubs is getting his game on. Now all the pitchers are really kind of having a competition with themselves, and it's a lot of fun to watch on this side. I can promise you that.
And Nick, you know how you're supposed to feel when it's going well. You've had so many good stretches in your career. Can you say, are you close to feeling pretty good, or is it still a lot of work left to try and get there?
Every day's a work for me, boy. Every day's a work. So I think just in general, you know, I'm just coming here and just taking each day for the day. I mean, every day's a new challenge. And I think for us, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about individual numbers and things like that. And that's not what it boils down to, man. No one really checks the box score to see how an individual did. They check the box score to see how the team did. And I think we're really kind of wrapping our heads around that and really, really getting those W's when we need them. I mean, for us, man, I mean, it, you know, that first series of the year in Houston was the only time we won a series. Now all of a sudden we're going back-to-back. So I think for us, man, this is something that we could really, really build on and get that camaraderie back that we've had in past years.
Hey, I know you're humble, but bottom line, when this club went on that tear 2 years ago in September, you had 7 homers, 21 RBI. We need you, big guy.
Yes, sir, baby. I'm going to be working every day.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, guys. Thank you.
So the Indians finished the trip 5-2, that swing that took them to Texas and Chicago. Then it was back home to take on the Reds in interleague play. An Ohio Cup battle between the Tribe and the Reds started Friday night, and the Indians were on it early once again. This time it was Jason Kipnis putting the Indians in front in the second inning.
A swing and a little flare towards center field. It's dropping. Base hit! Indians take the lead. Ramirez scores on the Kipnis flare single to center. And everybody moves up a base. Perez to third. Bourne to second. And Jason Kipnis 2-for-2 has his 18th RBI.
Then in the third inning, Brandon Moss unleashed some thunder.
Brandon Moss leads off the third, whacks it, high, deep to right center, gone! Wow, did Brandon Moss tee off his team high 7th home run, and the Indians have a 3-2 lead. That sounded like it got shot out of a cannon, and on a night where the wind has been blowing in and it's cold, Brandon Moss smoked one.
And in the fourth, it was Moss again patting the Tribe lead. Here's the 1-0. Swung on, there's a line drive down the right field line. Fair ball, one hop up against the wall. This will score a pair. Moss is on his way to second, in with a 2-run double. And Brandon Moss has given the Indians a 5-2 lead. 9th double on the year. Moss now with 27 runs driven in. And a big night going for Brandon Moss. After the game, Brandon Moss stopped by to talk about a good start to a new homestand for the Indians.
Congratulations, Brandon. Again, we said it'll be hard for anybody to hit one out of here tonight. You proved us wrong.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was it's been cold and it's been windy, so it's definitely not the best conditions for high fly balls. But, you know, luckily I was able to get a good piece of that one and it went out.
And, Brandon, you've had a chance to play here for a little bit more than a month and a half now. How does this compare to the Oakland Coliseum where you called home for a while?
Well, you know, the stadium itself is a lot nicer, obviously, but...
bathrooms work.
I'll be honest, when I've played here as a visitor, I always thought that the ball carried really well here. I always thought, man, this is a, you know, this is a launching pad. But playing here in the first month and a half of this season, I realized that I definitely had the wrong perception, because this place can humble you quick when the wind's not blowing the right way.
Well, Brandon, you're having a good year, and do you get a sense now that this club has turned a corner here?
Yeah, we're starting to play a lot better. Obviously, we, you know, offensively, none of us really got off to the start that we wanted. And then there for a little while, I mean, it was kind of Murphy's Law against us. Anything that could happen would. And, I mean, you know, you go through points like that in the season, and when they're early on, they look way worse than they really are, and it gets a lot more frustrating. But, you know, guys are starting to put together some really good at-bats. Obviously, we got two guys in the lineup that are just absolutely smoking the ball right now with Kip and Brandt, and then Murph has been swinging well. And, I mean, you know, other guys are starting to step up and be the players that they've been in the past, and we're starting to mesh well.
And sometimes you hear hitters say that when the pitching is good, it'll take a little bit of the pressure off. Is that true? Do you feel that way sometimes?
When you're swinging the bats, well, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, you can't win a nothing-to-nothing game. Whether the pitchers pitch well or not, you have to go out and score runs. And, you know, obviously there's going to be games where you go out and you don't get runs across. But, you know, here lately, even when we haven't been scoring a lot of runs in some games, we've been giving ourselves opportunities. And sometimes you cash those in and sometimes you don't. But the important thing is that, you know, you're getting guys on and you're having those opportunities.
Well, Brandon, thanks again for joining us. Another great game, and it sure is fun winning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fun game sometimes when you do really well and when you win.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah.
So that's a look at your week gone by for the Tribe, and a very good week it was. First time this season that the Indians had put together not only a three-game win streak, but also a four-game win streak as they continue their series with the Reds over the weekend. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from Sean Markham, who had that outstanding start for the Indians on Wednesday, earning his first Major League win in two seasons. That's next after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are taking on the Reds. Earlier this week in Chicago, the Indians won three straight, and one of those wins went to veteran right-hander Sean Markham, called up from AAA Columbus to make that start as the fifth man in that starting rotation, and it couldn't have gone better as he pitched strong baseball into the seventh inning, gave the Tribe a chance to win, a game they did win, and the victory went to Markham in his first Major League start in two seasons, his first Major League win since he won a ball game with the Mets back in 2013. Obviously a great night for him, and we caught up with him the next day to get his thoughts on what it meant to be back out there on a Major League mound and pitching well.
I wouldn't say nerves. I was a little anxious and excited those first couple innings, trying to stay under control, trying not to overthrow. But once we, you know, I gave up that home run, and it felt like after that I settled down a little bit, finally found my arm slot and rhythm, and was able to start getting ahead of hitters and get some quick outs.
And when you look at a lot of pitchers coming back, you hear them talking about getting back to where they were. But are you a different pitcher now, or are you pretty much the way you were when things were going well?
I'm pretty much the same. Velo's a little down from where I was when I was healthy and a lot younger. But you know, the main thing for me is location and changing speeds. If I can't locate and change my speeds, then it's going to be a tough day for me. So I got to go out there and make sure I'm repeating my delivery, repeating my arm slot, and being able to locate.
You mentioned repeating your delivery, and it sounds like that was a challenge to get that going down at AAA. How long did it take for you to feel comfortable with that?
I know my first two starts, I was struggling and rushing a lot to the plate, and you know, I worked with Carl quite a bit in my bullpens just to slow things down. You know, it's first time starting in a couple of years, so I was, you know, excited to be back out there. But at the same time, you got to slow things down, and sometimes slower is better. And we were able to get things where we needed to be, and you know, my last few starts down there were a lot better than the first two.
Sean Markham joining us. Missed all of last season and came back toward the end at the minor league level, got some innings in, and I know there were some setbacks last year. What kept you going to try and recapture what you had and continue your career?
Well, a couple things. My kids mainly wanting to watch Dad pitch again, so that right there was something that I couldn't let them down. And then just wanting to take the uniform off of my own. I didn't want to end my career on an injury, so Those two in mind, it was just something you just keep battling and trying to work hard and get back to where you need to be.
Was there a turning point last year where you said, you know what, this might work out okay next spring?
Yeah, actually, my last start in I made two starts last year in AAA, and it was the last start of the season. I actually felt about the 64th, 65th pitch. I felt like I was pretty much back to where I was back in 2012, early 2012. And so took the off season, had a normal off season instead of one where I was rehabbing, and was able to come into spring training feeling pretty good.
And you start the season at the AAA level. You had that one appearance up here, but for some that can be difficult. But it seemed like you embraced that and used it to the best of your advantage. And how did you approach it when going in?
I've been in AAA before with some veterans when I was a young guy coming up, and it seems like, you know, if you go down there and you're bitter and upset that things aren't going to go well. So you just go down there and control what you can control and have fun with it. We had a good group of guys down there, great coaching staff with Trimmy and Carl. So it was easy to go about your business. You know, like I said, we just got to go out there and control what you can control. If you're upset and things like that, it can affect you on the field. So you just go down there, have fun, and work as hard as you can to get back.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to doing this again as often as you can. But last night, at least, a chance to sit back and enjoy it and really think about where you've been and where you've gotten to now?
I haven't really thought about it much. You know, it was nice. My kids were actually here to see it. So, you know, it was nice to be back out there, we'll just say that. But haven't really thought about it much other than the family stuff, but looking forward to getting back out there.
It was fun to watch, Sean. Thanks a lot for coming by. Appreciate it. That's Sean Markham, obviously emotional about his victory on Wednesday night. Not so much the win, but what it meant to get back to the big leagues for not only him, but also his family as well. Stay with us. When we return, we'll hear from Indians television voice Rick Manning, who celebrated his 40th anniversary of his debut in the major leagues on Saturday at Progressive Field. He's been with the Indians organization a long, long time, both as a player and as a broadcaster, and he'll fill us in on some of the great moments along the way when we come back after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Big weekend here as the Reds are in town for interleague play, but that is not the biggest story. The Indians are honoring the 40th anniversary of Rick Manning's debut in the major leagues with the Tribe, and 40 years later, still going strong arch with the Indians on the television broadcast crew. These years must have flown by, huh?
It's hard to believe, Rosie, 40 years. I mean, May 23rd, 1975, I was in the 24th, I was in Oklahoma City, the 22nd, Oklahoma City. I got a phone call that said, you're coming to the big leagues, come on to Cleveland, and it was a dream come true. I was 20 years old. I had my one brother that's going to be here for the weekend. He was in Oklahoma City, so he got my car, brought it up here, and I came to Cleveland, and I was starting in right field that night. And hard to believe that it's gone that fast, to be honest with you.
And you didn't spend much time in the minor leagues. How does a kid from Niagara Falls, New York, not a baseball hotbed, just stand out so much to be able to make it to the big league so quick?
I wish I knew. I really don't. I don't know. We only played about 18 or 19 games in baseball season. But I was an athlete. I played basketball, played football. I was their number one draft pick in 1972, the second pick in the country at 17 years old. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I don't know, just very lucky, very fortunate. So all my friends and family will be here tomorrow, you know, from Niagara Falls and from all over the place. So it's going to be a fun day, and I really don't know what to say about it.
Tell us how you transitioned to the broadcast booth. Playing career comes to a close, but you have to make that next step, and you're still going strong a long time later. But how did that begin for you?
Well, I was very fortunate. I was one of the few guys that lived here in Cleveland. You know, most people, they don't live in Cleveland. Their home is somewhere else. But when I came to Cleveland, I stayed. I bought a home. I lived here. Even when I was traded to the Brewers, I stayed in Cleveland. And Channel 43 was doing games at that time. So in 1989, the job at Channel 43 was up, and I wanted to interview for it because I was just getting out of baseball. My last year was 1987. I took almost like 1988 off. I thought I was going to go to Japan and play, and I didn't. So I ended up coming here, and I took that summer off. And I had an agent back then, and they said, let's make a demo tape. Well, I did make a demo tape for 43, and they ended up hiring Mike Keegan, who was working in the market of Milwaukee, because when I played there, Mike was doing the games on television, so I knew Mike, and so I didn't get that job then, and I just hung out, and I was working for a transportation company, and about 6 months later, cable came in, Sports Channel came in, not Sports Time Ohio, Sports Channel, and they were looking for somebody to do the color. Well, they called me because I made that demo tape. I was, I think, the only guy in town that could do it back then, and they had about 11 or 12 games that year in 1989, and then 1990 was their very first year, so I just jumped aboard, and I said I'd be happy to do it, never doing television before. I still spoke like I was a kid in the clubhouse. I had that, you know, that lingo or that talk, not very good grammar or English, swearing, you know, things like that. But it is, you learn. The people knew me here, so I think they gave me a break, and they were very patient with me. But, you know, 26 years later now, it's been a lot of fun, and so much has changed in the world of television, you know, and the way you cover ball games, because now every game's on the air. And back then we used to do, you know, maybe 40, and Channel 43 would do 75, so we would split. But right now we do them all, so it's sort of fun.
40 years to the day of you breaking in to the major leagues, almost all of it with the Indians, but that short time with Milwaukee, do you just kind of push that aside, or have you always felt, hey, it's Indians exclusively, just a little bit of time elsewhere?
Basically, yes. When I was traded, I was hurt, you know, because I was their number one draft pick. I was traded, I think, 11 years to the day I was drafted. Drafted June 6th, 72. I was traded June 6th, 83. So I went there and finished my contract, because I was a free agent, and I just signed a five-year deal with the Indians, and they had to get my approval to get traded. Well, the Brewers were just in the World Series in 1982, and I was back here. I wanted to stay in Cleveland, but I said, you know, I do also want to try and play in a World Series. So I thought that would be a time I could go out and try and get over there. I did. Approved the trade, went to Milwaukee, but I never sold my house in Cleveland. I would always come back here and live. And so those 4.5 years that I spent there, I had great times. I met some great people, played with some great baseball players, but I was never a true Milwaukee cheesehead. I'm from Cleveland, man. I was drafted and I played here, and as you say, I sort of like, I remember those times, but all my good, great, great memories are here in Cleveland.
A lot of great memories for fans, too. And, Arch, thanks a lot for coming by and talking a little bit about 40 years. How about that? That has gone by in a hurry, I am sure. But I appreciate the time.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Rick Manning. Boy, pulling out all the stops. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of Tribe Talk after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Time for our final segment on this week's show. And as always, we're joined by Carter Hawkins, the Indians' Director of Player Development, the weekly Farm Report extended edition with Carter on Tribe Talk each week. And we had a chance to ask Carter about things happening down at AAA Columbus, that one step close to the big leagues where the finishing takes place. And no bigger story down in Columbus than the continued development and progress of shortstop Francisco Lindor, the Indians' top prospect in their minor league system. Been talked about a lot in the early season, as Lindor is expected to be here at some point in time. Jose Ramirez trying to man down that shortstop spot. So Lindor's name came up quite a bit in recent weeks, as Ramirez had been struggling. Ramirez now, though, playing some good baseball both offensively and defensively for the Tribe. And by the same token, so is Lindor down at AAA. And Carter filled us in on what's been going on with Lindor, some of the strides he's been making of late.
I think Rosie is really just finding that consistency for Frankie. I mean, we very, very easily forget that he's 21 years old. You know, he really hasn't even spent a full year at the AAA level. You know, and he's been, you know, for all intents and purposes, rushed through our system for good reason. You know, he's definitely put himself in that position. So, you know, he's put some consistent at-bats together. He's starting to, you know, be consistent on the out in the field as well. You know, we know he can make the great play. We know that he can make all the routine plays. It's just a matter of him doing that day in and day out. And, you know, being able to see him do that each day, you know, both in his pregame, both in the game, and then being able to understand why and what he did after the game. So when he can do that very well, it shows us, hey, when he gets to the big leagues, then he's going to be able to do that consistently there as well.
Giovanni Urshela is a name that we saw during the course of spring training, looked very promising, but has had a hard time staying on the field here in the early season. What's he going through from an injury standpoint?
Just had a little bit of a lower back pain, just some lower back strain that, you know, something that flared up in spring training and it flared up a couple weeks ago. But we're hopeful to get him back towards the end of this week and, you know, get him back on the field. He's certainly a great presence in that Columbus lineup. He's definitely a guy that's on our radar to help the major league team out at some point, and you know, we're just excited to get him back in there because we know he'll make an impact.
James Ramsey, an outfielder acquired from the Cardinals last summer in the Justin Masterson trade, it looks like he's had a decent start at the plate. And what are you seeing from him early on that indicates that he could be a potential major league option at some point?
I think with James, I mean, he's a very intellectual player. He's extremely smart. He understands the game, studies the game. You know, he's one of those players that's always talking about how he can get better, always talking about other players. You know, really looking at it from an angle that a lot of guys don't really look at it, especially at his age. So, you know, that's encouraging in and of itself. And then his ability to make adjustments off of that is really encouraging. And you can kind of see him in the way his season's gone this year. You know, his April was, you know, a little bit subpar for what he's used to. And, you know, he's been able to really figure out what adjustments he needs to make to get consistent at bats, put himself in good positions at the plate. And, you know, this May, he really torn the cover off the ball. So, you know, you couple that with some good defense, some smart base running, and he's the type of guy that you can stick in your lineup in the major leagues and feel pretty good about.
And another player, a very familiar name to Tribe fans who has seen some time at Columbus this week, is catcher Yan Gomes. He's trying to get back to the major leagues coming off of the knee injury and getting closer by the day. What have you seen from him in the various reports that you've had in terms of that knee and being tested down there to be major league ready?
It's been really positive. You know, Gomes worked his tail off to get to this point, you know, trying to be very aggressive with his program, with his rehab, and you know, certainly is putting everything he can into it so he can get back on the field up in Cleveland as soon as he can. But it was down in Lake County earlier this week and, you know, had some successful at bats there. It was tested on some bump plays, tested on some blocks, tested on some base running, and it felt good, you know, other than there's just a normal, you know, aches and pains of getting back onto the field. He feels like he's in a really good spot. So, you know, we're hopeful we'll get him back in Cleveland here pretty soon. And it's just nice to have him as well as a, you know, an impact maker down in the minor leagues. Not so much on the win-loss, but more just the players and being able to lead by his example down there while he's going through this rehab process.
Well, Carter, good update. We'll catch up with you again next week.
I appreciate it, Rosie. Talk to you soon.
That's Carter Hawkins, Indians Director of Player Development, and that's it for this edition of Tribe Talk. It was great to have you with us. Glad you could be here, and we will join you again next week from the West Coast as the Indians will be in Seattle next weekend, and that's where our next Tribe Talk show will come from. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
We're talking baseball. Talking Tribe. Nobody plays harder than the Tribe. We've got the players. These guys are really hot. We've got a future. We're headed to the top. We're on the warpath. It's spreading far and wide. We're talking baseball. Talking Tribe. You're talking baseball. Talking Tribe.
Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.